From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. You text me and I'll get to your text here very shortly. Still to come, we'll hear from the official Democrat response on the Jeff Poor Show. Parker Griffith, a former congressman for the 5th Congressional District, and rarely says no to an invitation on this program. We look forward to that on at the 11:30 block. Recapping the news, Iran's back. Iran on, off again, and we're just kind of weathering it. It's in the news, but is it newsworthy? I guess it's important to know what's going on. The left-wing establishment is using it in a way to attack Trump. At least that was my take from the Sunday shows. Oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, but I think all that matters is what the impact is on energy, on the price of oil, and then we kind of the politics fall in place from that. So dare I say this, like if there were no impact on your life in the form of gas prices or whatever, I don't think many Americans would care. Honestly, I don't. So such as it is, keeping an eye on that, and they're going to try to weaponize it the best they can. According to CNN, gas prices up 13 cents from last week. So that's a significant departure from what we had. Things are looking up. I think going into Labor Day now, you know, prices will go down because the mixture changes heading into the winter months. Let's see what else. Soccer. That's your thing. I said to my one takeaway, it mattered. Not that the outcome between Spain and Argentina really mattered, but it was that the global community, people with expendable income to travel to the United States got a dose of the U.S. and decided that they liked it. Generally, sure, there were some who did not like it, but seemed like everybody had a good time. On the state front, the most notable thing was Representative Blackshear going on Capitol Journal talking about gambling. And he has been a guy who's always been in the mix on the gambling discussion. And I think with the departure of Greg Allbritton, he may become the guy on the gambling discussion. He may be, but whatever comes out of the House, I think the House is a layup for the pro-gamblers. I don't know about the Senate. You got to have to win over a couple of no votes, primarily our returning champion, State Senator Elliott, and R. Lance Bell. Because everything else seems kind of a wash. Allbritton losing, you lose a vote, but you may gain a vote up in North Alabama at the old Tom Butler seat. John Roberts wins. Or if a Democrat pulls it off, will probably be on the pro-gambling side. You lost Dan Roberts. You gained Rusty Glover. Well, you had Rusty Glover as seat with Jack Williams, who voted against it as well. But the Senate is where all the action's going to happen. But he says that no discussions are underway right now. And you know, think about this, and my suspicion was, well, they're going to try to do this in a special session or something of that sort. Right out of the gate, like they did the gas tax in 19. And in hope that if it's something that's unpopular, people will forget about it by the time they go to vote. In 2030. And just get it out of the way. We're tired of talking about it. But according to Representative Blackshear, there are no discussions right now. When they tried this last time, this was the 24 gambling effort that failed by one vote in the state Senate. You had guys kind of on the going around on the circuit. Andy Witt in particular, he's a lawmaker from the very north top of Alabama, right? Where if you're crossing into Alabama from Nashville, the rest area that has the rocket, that part of the state. And what he was doing, he was going around to all these speakeasy, behind the curtain, gas station, pseudo casino, pseudo slot machine places. And not necessarily like reporting them, but he was kind of doing the fact finding. He was telling the media about what he was finding. You don't see really much of that right now. Maybe that was something that they don't want an organized opposition. But I find that intriguing to know, at least what he's telling us, that there's no discussions underway right now. 251-343-0106, unnamed texter. How is it that China's leader of AI in the whole country utilizes 8 data centers, but the U.S. needs hundreds of them? Something smells fishy. Do you really think that they only have 8 data centers in China? That police state? Maybe they just do things in a different way. Tim, Jeff, what would you rather have, a data center or a subdivision full of brothers? At least the data centers wouldn't be always trying to steal your stuff. That's a very racist comment. Leo, I did not know what ChatGPT was, so I Googled it, and I still don't know what it is. It is a generative artificial intelligence chatbot. Then I had to look up chatbot. So, like, essentially, if you got a question, you used to Google the answer. Like, for example, Leo, if you wanted to know what is ChatGPT, you would just ask. But it's more complicated, more complex than that. You could say, ChatGPT, find me a recipe for gumbo, and it'll make a or find me something. How do I change out an alternator on my 2017 GMC pickup truck? Or you know, that it's just like an answer center. Now, ultimately, this AI will perform, I think, actual physical tasks. Clean my house or drive my car or, you know, whatever. You'll set up these actual potentially robots. But that's sort of what it is right now. It's sort of an internet fascination. Ricardo, even homeless people have smartphones. They hang out at stores with the free Wi-Fi. Very few in the U.S. are off the grid. That's true. Peacock sends me a Fox 10 News update. Mobile County Sheriff, one dead, another wounded after mass shooters opened fire near food trucks in Pritchard. It's lawlessness there. Hopefully everybody's okay. Backstrap, soccer is the most popular war sport. Calling it trendy or bougie is asinine. Watching Auburn lose 6 games a year and the Braves crap the bed has jaded your views beyond repair, especially since you watch all these games and don't even gamble. I'm sorry I offended your soccer sensibilities. It's not an American sport, though. Hey, if you want to talk about Auburn and the Braves, but you could also say football and baseball. You're going to compare soccer to two teams, the Auburn football team and the Atlanta Braves baseball team versus the entire sport of soccer. When I went at you, let's say the Seattle Seahawks and the Indiana Hoosiers or whatever are the Los Angeles Dodgers or whatever. It's still a second-tier sport in America, and I don't see that changing. And it is kind of bougie. It's embarrassing to say the U.S. has the most powerful military on Earth, and Iran has no Navy, no Air Force, yet they cherry-pick when they want to kill our military personnel. I'll say, Western Warfare and Eastern Warfare. Was it Dan Carlin? But the Eastern Warfare is really, they get more bang out of these guerrilla attacks. And we may have the technology, the armies, the numbers, but they make do with what they have, and that's what they're doing. They have these drones, and they're able. Now, the question is, how are they able to hit these targets with such precision? Because they don't have the intelligence infrastructure, and somebody is giving them that. And that's the question. Is it the Chinese, the Russians? Derek, please name the Canadian political action group that funds any elections. The Italians, the Mexicans. Is there any other country in the world that allows this? Do we allow other countries to donate to campaigns? I seem to remember Russian influencers that required a congressional hearing. There are laws that prevent foreign entities from contributing in American elections. Now, look, I don't know how you enforce that. We have free speech, and I guess if a company from abroad wants to come in and give to a PAC or start a PAC, then maybe. Oh, this is great. Ricky. The word Jew was created a few hundred years ago and the Zionist movement is made up of people like a cult made up by the Rothschilds and secret societies that Satan is using to run the world. And the Bible says that we live in Satan's kingdom. Ricky's got it all figured out. One more here. Why is the hill to die on for both the Democrats and Republicans a subject that concerns way less than 1% of our population? I truly don't get it. They're the left's boogeyman, neocons' favorite chosen people, and oddly evangelical savior. I think it's the principle of it, A. But it may be a concern that's sort of an enigma. But the way I look at it, I mean, there's obviously some biblical, there's scripture that suggests the Jewish state should exist, or the Jewish people should, they're the chosen people. And you could say, well, that's false theology. That's not, but the people believe it. And because they believe it, they pay taxes just like all of us, and they're entitled to support whatever they want. That's the beauty of living in America. Derek said, what you just said is actually illegal unless they register as a foreign group. Yes, but maybe they do register as a foreign group, or they have like-minded allies who are U.S. citizens. And just because you're associated with a foreign entity, maybe you're employed by these people. Maybe you set up shop incorporated in America. You are still entitled to those benefits of free speech. Well, I'm sorry, Derek, you don't like it, but that's how our system works. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit us up on that text line. Let us know what's on your mind. Mike writes, the chosen people heresy was invented by a lunatic who was kicked out of his country in the late 1800s, making foreign policy based off of someone's scriptural interpretation to have as deep of a knowledge as Ricky is suicidal for a sovereign nation. Well, you don't get to, but you don't get to outlaw it. Whatever your biblical interpretation is, Mike, it may vary wildly from mainstream Christianity or mainstream population in Alabama or wherever. You say this, but you don't get to discount other people's beliefs. You can say, I disagree with this. But that's sort of the ticket here. That's the country we live in. Derek sends me some really tiny screenshots and asks about AIPAC. Derek, AIPAC is an American... Like, don't send me ChatGPT screenshots, okay? Or Google, whatever their AI bot is. The point, you're saying, though, AIPAC coming in and influencing our elections, but it's Americans who believe these things. This is where we have to just agree to disagree with these people. You may not care for AIPAC. You may not like AIPAC, but it's largely comprised of Americans who have pro-Israel leanings, and their vote counts just as much as yours. We could get bogged down into policy and have the argument and talk about what's right and what's wrong and what's in scripture, what isn't. But the reality is, this is what people believe. This is what they support. Their vote counts as much as yours. Now, you got to change hearts and minds. You got to change opinions. You got to make a better argument. You got to make a better case. I don't think the trick here is to go straight up anti-Zionism. And I'm going to be very careful with Semitism and Zionism here. Because I don't think a lot of people who are necessarily anti-Israel or anti-Netanyahu government are anti-Semitic. But the anti-Zionism, you just got to make a better argument that doesn't come off as straight up anti-Semitic. And that's what they do, though. I mean, if you do put yourself out there and oppose U.S. foreign policy regarding Israel, you do run that risk. And it's like having an honest conversation in an environment's very difficult. But you can't just say, well, these people are wrong and they don't get a say. They believe they are right. They believe they are they're doing something honorable, something very important. And it's all in the eyes of the beholder, I suppose, but the number of the eyes on one side and the eyes on the other side outweigh one or another. And that's how, I mean, it's like trying to make excuses but just understand there are a lot of people who have the same privileges, the same rights as you, who are U.S. citizens, who are Americans, who do the honorable thing to go to work, to raise a family, and they believe something completely opposite of what you believe, regardless of your theological argument. That's where they're coming from. If there were this uprising, and the Democratic Party's trying to take advantage of it, then we would change our foreign policy. You send a few lawmakers home. You change the system through elections. You win in the court of public opinion. And right now, as things stand, you're not winning in the court of public opinion. And therein lies the problem. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
watch on this heart of mine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 1065-251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me, and we'll try to get to your text before the conclusion of today's broadcast. By the way, I failed to mention tomorrow on the program, a couple of guests to be named later, and then our Tuesday regular, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs, will make time for us. So you'll want to be sure that you tune in for that. Joining us now, it is time for the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porter Show, en route somewhere, parts unknown, but our buddy, former Congressman Parker Griffith, is with us. Congressman, how are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Jeff. And it's a bright, sunshiny day here in North Alabama. And we've had a lot of rain yesterday, but the corn looks good and the beans look good. So I think everything's going along fine. I got a chance to see the Cup Finals, which was pretty exciting. I'm surprised that it was so well advertised, and soccer is a big deal up here, and I guess it is down in Mobile as well.
Is you a soccer guy, Congressman? I never would have had you pegged for that.
Well, I have grandsons and granddaughters that are soccers. I didn't even know what soccer was growing up, but some really top flight athletes are playing soccer. They're not playing basketball or football, but they're playing soccer, and it seems like it's on the upswing everywhere.
I try, and I'll turn it on if there's nothing else on, but it's not. It just doesn't capture my attention.
Well, if you, one of the great players, it's kind of messy. I think he's 5'8", 145 pounds, and he's a superstar. And so children that maybe are not physically able to play football or compete there, they can certainly compete on the soccer field. And if they enjoy it, it's something they can do. Of course, I would prefer they play tennis or golf. Something they can do the rest of their whole lives, but anyway, how's the political scene down there in South Alabama?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. Your friend Tabitha Eisner, you may know her as the vice chairwoman of the Alabama Democratic Party. She's been very busy lately. She a couple of weeks ago called on Democrats to vote in Republican primary on August 11th. So we got special elections on August 11th for the 1st, 2nd, 6th, and 7th congressional districts. And she says Democrats need to vote in the Republican primaries. And really, it's all self-defeating. If you're an opponent of closed primaries in this state, which there's a kind of a movement afoot to do that, she gave them a gift, I think, telling them to vote in the Republican primary. And because they tried this last year and we're told, well, this really isn't a thing or it's exaggerated, but apparently it's a thing. It's kind of fascinating that's a strategic possibility for the Alabama Democratic Party.
I don't think she has any influence. I don't know why she would go on about that. It's not going to make any difference. The turnout's going to be incredibly low, and I don't know what that Tabitha, I don't know what she was thinking, but
she did something that was just absolutely fascinating. You know, she ran for Congress in 2018 against Martha Roby, and she's talking about, and she showed, she put on Facebook a canceled check that she had written to Joe Reed's Alabama Democrat Conference or whatever it's called, and that this is what Joe Reed does. He extorts money from campaigns for his organization, and who knows where the money goes after that. She puts this canceled check up and said that they never reported it. They just, it was like $8,000 or $5,000 or something. And that the money just sort of just vanished. They didn't report it. They cashed a check. No one knows where the whereabouts are. But I think that's like the problem for Democrats, that you have this entity that is very influential, and you got to go pay him off. If you're Shamari Figures, if you know, this was the mistake Arthur Davis made when he ran for governor or lieutenant, whatever it was, and he got clobbered by Ron Sparks. He just didn't kiss the ring of Joe Reed and pay the ransom. So you still have this going on in Alabama. And, it's kind of interesting that she's decided she's going to bring that up today.
Well, she's – listen, Joe Reed is a political criminal. Yeah, he does steal the money. nobody knows where it goes. Joe is probably 85, 86 years old, and his lieutenant – Pastor Kelly, who's the chair of the Democratic Party, the Democrats are not going anywhere in Alabama until they change leadership. There's a reason that schools pay coaches big money. Leadership makes a difference. The Democrats in Alabama apparently don't believe that. Apparently, the Democrats in Alabama don't think leadership is significant enough to have your best possible minds in leadership roles. So we've got Joe Reed. He's been extorting money for years. He is as racist as they come. He's alienated so many people that could contribute to the Democratic Party, but they're not. And if we continue down that road, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing, and that's losing elections or saying silly things.
Well, he's had a pretty good run. Joe Reed has had a hell of a run in Alabama politics.
He had the AEA when.
He doesn't have that anymore, but it's interesting to me because this is Doug Jones where he got sideways with Joe Reed and he had problems. Right. And yeah. I'm going to tell you, like, personal experience, I don't, talk to many Democrats, but I remember that. Remember they put in Chris England and the National Party intervened and they really, like, they gave it their best shot. It failed miserably. But there were a lot of Democrats who were put off by by trying to force Joe Reed out and Nancy Worley, the late Nancy Worley at the time. And I think that, while I don't think Joe Reed is a force for good in the party, he's not just this guy who just kind of exists and mooches off the – well, he mooches off the system for sure. But, man, he has such a following in the state.
He plays the victim card. He plays the poor black Alabama. They're torturing me down here. I'm a victim of racism. When he goes up to D.C. and meets with the National Democrats, you've got all these left-leaning, bleeding hearts that think that Alabama is backward and it's nasty to the black people. And Reed plays that game up there. And they continue to send him checks. They continue to say that they need to reform the Democratic Party in Alabama. But when it comes right down to it, they're afraid that Reed will play the race card on the National Party. The West Coast Democrats, Northeastern Democrats, they're all bleeding hearts. They don't understand Alabama. Joe Reed is the worst thing that can happen to black Democrats, and they don't recognize that. And until he goes away, we're just going to have to put up with it.
Well, I mean, he's the son's a mayor of Montgomery. If you want to, have any, but this is true. This is why I think Shamari Figures won the Democratic primary in AL2. If you want to have any success, and it's hard to have success as a Democrat in this state, you got to go pay him off. That yellow ballot they pass out at the polls, it matters. There's nothing that competes with it. And that's why I always never understood. Why not have a competing entity that does what the ADC does or something of that, you know, that nature? It's just that, you know, he's got this market cornered on I guess it's grievance politics in Alabama.
Well, it is, and he is a master at manipulating the black emotional grievances. I know Reed pretty well. He's an extortionist. He's racist as hell. He's a real malignancy in the Democratic Party in Alabama, and nobody's going to do anything about it because that money that disappears, that money is strategically placed in counties to individuals who are influential. We've got some smart, good black citizens up here that support Joe Reed because Joe Reed has supported them for years with checks and whatever. And they keep bringing up everything from the Edmund Pettus Bridge to the assassination of MLK, et cetera. And it completely clouds or camouflages the real issues that they should be talking about.
I tell you what's interesting. So when you do talk to Democrats, the black Democrats in the legislature, they're not big Joe Reed fans at all. And some of them just are defiantly opposed to it. Your buddy Anthony Daniels, obviously Chris England, guys like that who, you know, they just don't have any use for him. And I kind of wonder if his means, they still, I guess, work. Like you say, he's strategic about where he puts money and who he, you know, whatever he does with that money is questionable. But that a lot of the elected leadership at the Democratic Party just not on board with the Joe Reed program.
Well, they're toothless. They can't challenge him. Because they'll be labeled as Uncle Toms or spineless blacks or whatever, or the race card is played all the time. Now our younger citizens don't respond to that, but the 50, 60, 70 year olds, that's an emotional hot button that Reed can play. England is a great guy. Good. Anthony Daniels has to play both sides because of his position. There's no power down there in Montgomery. The supermajority, if you're a Democrat in Montgomery, you ought to stay home and watch it on TV or
You've had a few over the years do that. Did you ever, as a, you know, you ran for governor, you were a Democrat congressman. Did you ever have to like pay the Joe Reed ransom?
Oh, absolutely. I shifted almost $300,000 into Joe Reed's pocket because there was an organization had pledged to me, if I would run for governor, had pledged $1 million. And when it came time for them to pay up, they forgot they had made that promise. So when I went down to speak to them, they said, well, we've got some money, but would you mind if we shifted $300,000 of this to Joe Reed? And I said, well, yeah, I do mind. Well, it's really important that you do it. And I did. I don't have no idea what happened to that money. There's a myth that Joe Reed controls voters, and he probably doesn't, but he controls a lot of people, particularly influential members of county communities and churches.
Right, right.
And they continue to be loyal to him.
It's a fascinating thing that still goes on in this state all these years. Hey, Carson, we got to get out of here. We're out of time, but always appreciate you coming on, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Y'all stay well.
Well, it's Parker Griffith, our official Democrat response to the Jeff Porter Show. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us. What's left of this Monday morning? Tomorrow on the program, Will Hampson, a couple other guests to be named later. Jerry, the Queers for Palestine listeners are very chatty this morning. Mike, I slightly disagree with you. Try to change the hearts and minds by making a better argument. People believing in 1948 Israeli supremacy aren't logically capable of understanding truth. I believe the snake oil salesman who cherry-picked the passages could concoct a heresy. Well, but what are you going to do about it? You going to tell them that they can't believe what they want to believe? The only recourse you have is to change minds if you really want to stake yourself out on that position and change things. Because in the meantime, people are entitled to believe what they want to believe, Mike. One more here. Old guy says, they put Larry Langford in prison for what Joe Reed does several times a year. The double standards hurt Alabama. It's very off-putting. I agree with that. Old guy. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
I think that's headline material, though, having Parker say, I gave Joe Reed, what, he moved $300,000.
Yeah, no one knows what happened to it.
I mean, that's, you know, I mean, people say, well, I think he's doing this, and I feel he's doing this. There's Parker Griffith with the receipts, man. I gave him $300,000. I mean, that stood out to me, I guess, just the way my brain works. I go, okay, there's some, you know, not just like insinuation. There's I gave Joe Reed $300,000.
Well, it was like a third party entity, and they didn't give it all to him. It was pledged to him, but they gave it to Joe Reed instead, I guess. I don't know how this works. And I wonder, though, he just kind of gets away with it.
Yeah. And what the closest was, when I thought England would be able to reset the Alabama Democrat Party, right? But even England, who has a lot of political capital, not strong enough.
Yeah, not strong enough, and gave an honest effort, I thought. Hired people.
Mm-hmm.
Just the support wasn't there. You got to have that grassroots support, and it never materialized, and he saw the writing on the wall and walked away.
There you go. And by the way, I may broach that money and that subject with my first guest, Todd Stacey, leadoff batter, as we get started on Midday Mobile. Also, coming up in hour number two, he's always making headlines, and you can hear him here Monday nights at FM Talk 106.5, my buddy, call him JY, but Mr. Mobile from tonight in Mobile with JY, or Mr. Mobile. He's going to join us. Fox 10 did a piece with him that ran, I guess, this morning. We'll talk about whose responsibility your children are. It should be easy to know, but John, wow. He puts it back down. Puts the hay down there where the horses can get after it. We'll talk at 1 o'clock on the show. Plus, we'll talk about some tragedies on the water over the weekend, that and a whole lot more coming up.
You mean the answer, is it the public school system?
Who else could it be? I don't know. Let me see here. ChatGPT. Oh, it's the parents.
Hey, don't be using those data centers. Yeah, I got to get out of here. It has been a pleasure. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.